Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm in Las Vegas, because tonight through Wednesday, I'm headlining the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana Casino. So if you're in Vegas or near Vegas and you want to come see me, I'll be at the Tropicana, the Laugh Factory, inside the Tropicana tonight through Wednesday. Two shows each night, 8:30 and 10:30. I've actually been on here with my mom. We saw Diana Ross on Saturday night. Fucking crushed it. Stop in the Name of Love. Heard of that song? I have. I fucking danced to it with a lot of gay dudes and old moms. But it was fun when in Vegas. Today's episode, great episode. Great guest, great comedian, great friend, great dude. I paid him $100 to dance in front of Gary Busey at the Impractical Jokers after party show. Gary Busey, we were both at the Impractical Jokers show in L.A., and I paid this dude. Well, Mo Mandel goes, Gary Busey was there, and I said, during the Adele song that was playing at the party, I go, Jeremiah, if you go dance in front of Gary Busey, interpretive dance, I'll give you $100. Mo goes, I got 20 on that. And Mo gave him his 20, so I go, you know what? I got to pay up. I'm giving Jeremiah his 100. And I gave it to him a couple days ago. And he said he treated himself to some lunch. So, fucking win-win. Jeremiah Watkins is our guest today. You know him from Roast Battle. He's a part of the All Negro Wave. He has his own show called Stand Up on the Spot, which has become a great show in L.A. and featured at many festivals. And then, of course, he's a part of the Goddamn Comedy Jam Band. And he's a great comedian. Just did his first tour with Tony Hinchcliffe, and it was a great chat, great conversation. His Midwest roots and upbringing is very interesting. It's always interesting to hear again where comedians come from and how they find comedy. And Jeremiah's story is interesting and inspiring, you know, because you just think most funny people are coming from the big cities. Nah, some of them are coming from fucking Kansas City, baby. follow Jeremiah on all social medias at Jeremiah Standup. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Instagram at Adam Ray Comedy, adamraycomedy.com for all my tour dates. BradWilliamsComedy.com for his tour dates. Brad, tomorrow will be at the Hollywood Improv. And then when I leave on Wednesday from the Laugh Factory in Vegas, Brad gets here on Thursday. And he'll be doing Thursday through Sunday at the Tropicana Laugh Factory in Las Vegas. Get your tickets at BradWilliamsComedy.com. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. 5-star rating. Comment on the iTunes page. Hit us up, aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, with your favorite ALN moments, where you get the pod, how you got into it. Or tweet at us at the podcast, at ALN Podcast. And we're going to read some of these new moments. Sorry, your favorite moments in the next few weeks when the new site drops, and then send out a bunch of free merch, which we just got finalized yesterday. Thank God. Beanies, sweats, mugs, hats, and shirts. I'm super pumped. Speaking of being pumped about this episode, now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Jeremiah Watkins.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
I mean, there's enough people that enough people that definitely told me, like friends that live down there, that were like, I waited 3 hours for water. And those are just like things you never have heard before.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, that doesn't sound like a good thing. Because can't you just get water in less than 3 hours?
Yeah, that's not... You made the right decision.
Yeah. I mean, you grew up in Kansas City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Natural disasters ever? Hurricanes? Tornadoes, right?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of tornadoes there.
Yeah.
But I've never seen one. We had like a lot of tornado warnings, where I remember like I was in community college and they issued like a warning and they were like, all right, everybody, like, it's lockdown. And I was like, I'm just going to drive home.
It's probably better.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, which was scarier, the tornado warning or what just happened to you outside this apartment?
Definitely what just happened outside this apartment.
Oh my God. So I park and I'm walking down and I see.
Great start to a story, by the way.
I see Jeremiah.
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah. I see Jeremiah in his car.
Yeah.
And he's head down, checking his phone.
Thumbs up, waiting for a game of heads up, seven up to show up.
Yeah.
Late at night. So I just run up to his passenger window.
Were you sleeping?
No, I was like checking like text messages and stuff.
Okay,
like that. Like, yeah, so I was like scrolling Facebook mindlessly.
Kind of, and let's just set that scene. Like in your car late at night,
and your street is not exactly well lit.
No, so you're just like,
I've already turned off my car. Oh, the lights are completely
it's
off.
Quiet. It's you're quiet. In chill mode.
I'm in chill mode because I got 10 minutes. I'm early to your podcast. Good move. I don't want to be the guy who's like, hey, let me in outside of 10 minutes early. I know what's up. I know 10 o'clock means 10 o'clock.
And by the way,
LA.
We won't say the voice of who you did, but we all know who that guy is. 10 minutes early guy, let me in. Fuck off, man.
Come on.
Terrible character for an SNL audition.
Yeah.
All right. So then
I just see him and I go, well, I got to take advantage of this. So I run up to his car and I pound on the passenger glass and I just yell out, I'll suck your dick. And the look on Jeremiah's face.
Oh, wait a minute. The look on his face, but what was...
My heart hurt. It literally, like, I had chest pains.
Oh,
he
no.
He scared me so bad.
Did you ever contemplate, like, just yes-ending the moment and, like, quickly whipping your dick out and being like, prove it! You know,
I thought he was going to suck my dick to death. I thought it was going to happen.
Which,
the first dick to death.
Yeah. What a way
sucking.
To go.
Yeah.
What a way to go.
Oh, my God.
It was going to happen. Now, what...
Getting startled will never be not funny.
I love scary movies, and I just was at... what did I see? This...
It?
No, but I can't wait for that. Yeah, I'm so excited to see that.
So you're not afraid of clowns, then?
My sister is because of that movie. We told her that it was a comedy.
You're like, remember Harry Met Sally?
Yeah,
it's just like that. Yeah,
with clowns.
Yeah.
I'll have what she's having. Here,
Jimmy. Oh my God! So that is quite the opposite emotional roller coaster. Then, so she's scarred.
Oh yeah, she
was
hates. Well, she was like maybe five.
Ugh.
Oh, man.
My brother and I are douchebags. We're like, oh, this is hilarious, like, movie about clowns, and like, you'll love it. And she's like, okay.
I trust you, brothers.
And then
brothers Watkins.
Yeah, and then we would like after that came out, like, well, I'm surprised she's not like super psychologically damaged. We would stay underneath her bed, like, and then grab her feet like right before she went to sleep.
Jesus. You know what? I was feeling bad about scaring you earlier. Now I'm kind of you know
karma.
What? No, you deserve that, asshole.
Yeah. Dude, everything came around.
She had this...
Should have been wearing a clown outfit.
Now I just have to get a clown mask because it's happening in my car at all times.
She had this dresser that we would get behind too. That was like catty corner to the wall. So a small child could fit behind it. And so the lights would be out, and sometimes we would wait like half an hour, 45 minutes, and we would just be sitting back there. And then we'd start making like monster noise, like... like gurgle noises and stuff.
Sounds like a gremlin giving head.
Yeah.
And she would... flip out, and it was amazing. But then we get in, like, my dad would get so pissed.
Oh, he would.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Was he a disciplinarian or?
Oh yeah, we get the belt. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Old school, man.
That's Midwest.
Absolutely.
This is what you get.
I got the
Midwest justice.
Yeah.
Coming soon from Dick Wolf Productions,
starring Ray Liotta, and the guy
just whipping belts,
and Ralph Macchio is the guy who shows up 10 minutes early but wants to get let in.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
that's what we were doing.
Everyone was sitting here waiting. Who was the guy?
Who was it?
Who was the impression of?
Hey, great podcast, but you never got to the guy.
Wait, so. Who in your family was... So, did your father didn't even, like, find that... Like, did he have a sense of humor
growing up? Yeah, he did, but, like, he, like, you know, total daddy's girl kind of thing with my sister.
Oh, gotcha.
Where it's like, if we did anything to mess with her, he's like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. He's like, yeah, get in your laughs, and then I'll get in my licks.
Right, right. So, we had the belt from him, and then we'd have the wooden spoon from my mom.
Yeah. Now, what was more of a... What made taking a poop... more of a task? You know, the spoon or the belt?
Definitely the belt.
Yeah.
But my sister acted up more than my brother and I, and my dad, we'd go on road trips, and he would pull a switch from the tree, and he would rest it on the dash, And anytime like that we got like too chaotic in the back seats, like fighting with each other, he'd pull the van over and then like give us a switch.
Wow. Did it work?
Yeah, it did.
Wow. Yeah, and you guys just staring at the weapon that is there specifically to hurt you and no one else. Like, he didn't pull the switch in case there's a carjacker.
No, no.
Like, some guy gets a gun, he's like, I've got a switch. You know, like, that's not happening.
He would sometimes make my sister pick the switch that it was going to be, too.
That's dang.
Yeah.
That's next
so
level.
So you try to get, like, the skinnier one. He's like, no.
He refuses
bigger.
It.
Find the better one.
No. Yeah.
Now,
is that how you learn how to play the sax? Did he just beat you into following Kenny G's footsteps?
Okay, Dad. Okay. I got it.
No, when did that music has always been a love of yours, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. Sax since when?
Since, like, third or fourth grade.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, I got to be honest. I played the clarinet, and my mom wanted me to transition from a man to a woman, and then from clarinet to sax, she goes, they're the same. And I never did. I even went to a music camp where they had a segment of the camp where it was like, what's the next instrument you want to do? Or like, what would you want to be doing right now? And so I would try to learn the sax. I remember she even got the sax from a guy she was dating at the time after my folks split, and he was like, yeah, you can borrow my sax, take it to camp with you. And I was like, all right, dude.
He really wanted the woman's son to like him.
For sure. That's a big move if you're the
hey, put your mouth where my mouth has been.
Oh, God. Think of it like that.
Oh,
fuck, Brad. No wonder I didn't stick with it.
Filthy.
Hey,
it tastes a bit nutty.
It's not bad enough that I'm dating your mom, but here, you put your mouth where my mouth has been.
Yeah, so we've both done it to your mom.
Yeah, like, oh, fuck.
See what that melody sounds like.
See, that I'd rather the guy go pick out a switch.
Oh, yeah.
At that point.
100%.
That's some serious psychological warfare.
But in third grade, that's kind of like a pimp move, I feel like. Like, nobody, I feel like there was nobody playing the sax in third grade.
No, where I grew up, not really. Yeah, I saw a guy playing it in my church growing up. I was like, what is that instrument?
Yeah.
And it was, you know, as jazzy as gospel hymnals can get. I was like, I want to play that thing.
And then you were the soul of the saxophone spoke to the young white kid named Jeremiah.
Yes, it did.
And you're like, wait, that's where I can get some soul.
Yeah,
that's where I can get some flavor.
Yeah, that's where I'll find my rhythm finally.
What was growing up there like?
Because was it like small town Kansas or?
I grew up in Kansas City.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Big city life?
I lived in, like, on a busy street, and then later, like, as a teenager, like, lived in, like, cul-de-sac neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I was, like, you know, a lot of people around.
There's a question I have to ask everyone from Kansas City, and that's, what's your barbecue joint?
Oh, dude, it's used to be called Oklahoma Joe's.
Now it's called Kansas City Joe's, and you go to the original that's in the gas station.
No, there's enough options that are out,
okay.
That I go to one in Olathe, which is like right by my mom's house. All right. So yeah,
is that the main question people ask? Like for me, they're like, so what's like, what's this?
What's so, this? So what's the rain like?
Yeah.
what's your favorite temperature of rain, Adam?
It'll be that. It'll be like, have you been to the Space Needle?
Yeah.
There's a Sean Kemp kids joke now, you know, which gets thrown in the rotation.
Sure. Are you one of them?
Did you love Pearl Jam growing? Like, did you ever get to see them live?
How many times have you been asked the Pearl Jam question? I bet a lot, like thousands.
Yeah. And I always say, like, I was in sixth grade when they were, I think, really popped.
Yeah.
And I just, my music taste hadn't shifted yet into, I think, just a higher level of quality. So I was still I did like Oasis a lot, and the song Champagne Supernova, I think I had on repeat. And had I fucked in the sixth grade, I know I would have fucked to that song.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much. I would have been like, I want it to be the soundtrack to everything great.
I believe that if you ever write a children's book, it should be called Had I Fucked in Sixth Grade.
Because I think it's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like,
here's how life would have been different.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe you shouldn't fuck in sixth grade.
Cause, dude,
or maybe
kid,
you should.
Because we've talked about this before. The kid who I know that fucked in seventh grade, Jesse Mose, shout out. If you're playing the Jesse Mose drinking game at home, drink five. You know he is, because he fucked in the seventh grade, and there's no way that he's killing it still.
No, because then you peak it. Like, once you fuck in seventh grade, you're like, well, this is the best of my life.
Yeah.
Because You don't try after that because you've already fucked a girl. So you're like, right? What? Why do I have to like get good at something?
Right. Did you have a kid in school that was like, you're like, oh, that kid's the fuck it. Like nobody's gonna do it.
There's kids I knew like in eighth grade and stuff, because that's when I started going to public school, was eighth grade.
Oh, what was before that?
I was in a private Christian school before that.
All right. Well, then let's just go back and get.
Well, I mean, your name's Jeremiah, so yeah. I assumed either Christian school or you're a Mennonite.
Yeah. Well, I definitely knew Mennonites back in the day.
No shit.
Now yeah. What? Now what is a Mennonite?
It's a very for our listeners. Basically a very, the best way to put it is a very strict Christian.
Gotcha.
Very strict. So okay, so
not quite Amish, but getting there.
Get very close, like teetering.
Yeah.
Like they'll watch the reality show about Amish people, but they won't subscribe.
But
to
then
the
they'll
lifestyle.
Condemn to the electricity that's surging it. No, I don't know. But
they're basically one power outage away of just being like, well, this is my life.
Right,
now.
Right. Yeah. I guess I just transitioned to being Amish. Yeah.
And then the clarinet to the sax.
Yeah.
Okay, so people, the school was pretty conservative, or?
Well, yeah, the school and the church that I went to growing up, it was called Church of God Holiness. And that is like basically a step or two away from like Mennonite. It's very strict. Like they kind of like they don't like women to really wear like makeup. That's like the dress code was girls had to wear skirts or dresses past the knee. Guys couldn't wear shorts.
They didn't like girls who wore makeup, so they were the original like girls taking pictures and being like, no filter.
They were the OG.
Yeah.
And I'm they showing were... true courage.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? The days of when heroes were men rescuing babies from trees or wherever babies are getting lost.
Yeah. And a baby,
I don't know,
a
man. I don't know. I don't have a baby. And I lost one. Or
now we know why.
or cardiovascular surgeons, but my friend Rachel didn't wear makeup last night at her ex-boyfriend's birthday party, and she took a picture of it, and she posted it. Hashtag brave.
Hashtag courageous.
Courageous.
Fuck. But spelled wrong.
Meanwhile, some Marine is just like scrolling through his feed, sees that and goes, fuck you.
Oh, yeah.
Were there certain limitations that you had a tough time like saying, like, did you just kind of go, all right, I'm in the school, I'm going to yes and everything they're telling me? Or how soon were you just like, fuck that, hell no, we won't go to the bathroom without a hall pass? Or...
You know what? While I was at that school and while I was in the church, I was a pretty good kid.
Yeah.
But then it was one of those things where I started kind with, if I was able to get a laugh, that's whenever I would cross the line as far as like what you're like talking back to the teachers or what like that. Because I always like, you know, I always love getting laughs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're the jokester.
To a point, yeah.
How are you doing it? We always ask people when they were in class.
I mean, dude, it was...
Impressions of teachers or just subtly under the... Like whispering shit to
whoopee
people.
Whoopee cushions.
I mean, no, just like farting and burping. Like I was disgusted. I was just like,
You go to the primal.
Yeah.
You go to the absolute.
Well, guess what? That's always a home run.
And
it's
you
a
know
sure
what?
Thing.
It's a resource that we all have.
Yeah.
And yet few can master.
Yeah.
Wait, so, now you would produce the actual sound?
I would fart in class like I was that kid.
Did you have a nickname like Jeremiah Fartkins or something?
No. Well, one
kid, that clever.
One friend called
kids aren't clever.
One friend called me the Germ, but you know Jeremiah the Germ.
Okay,
that's actually kind of a cool nickname, though.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But I guess when you're a kid, you take it personally. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
That's that just sounds like the second half of a morning show. Radio team.
Oh, absolutely.
It's Freddie and the Germ.
Hey, guys.
Well, somebody sounds like they need a bath.
Not me.
Or like in college, in every group of guy friends, everyone had a real name, and then there was always one guy that's like this is Andrew, I'm Brad, this is Andy, and here's the Beaver.
Yeah.
Like, there's always one kid in the group that was like, oh yeah, this is the Germ.
Yeah.
Like, that's who we, and it's...
Yeah, some name to describe just how much of a piece of shit he was.
Pretty much.
Wait,
Flounder.
Would you get these laughs, and you were just like, all right, well, this...
Well, that was like that was in grade school. I would do that, and then like in middle school, it would evolve to, you know, impersonating, you know, the other comedians that we like and stuff like that. Like I used to do like This is how I like made friends in eighth grade. Was I was able to do, you know, the Alrighty Then song in Ace Ventura 2, the complete in one breath, like.
Alrighty then.
I still laugh.
And then, you know. It,
wow. Yes, I'm still impressed. And yeah. And I'm already your friend, and I want to be your friend
right,
more.
Right. So, yeah.
That would
just
crush.
In person. Yeah, and then doing like bad Adam Sandler impressions and all that stuff.
Sure.
No. Yeah. It's so bad.
Wait, and the ones that you will do in your act now, is there Owen Wilson you do? No, Michael Caine is the.
I do, yeah, I do Michael Caine.
That's one of Brad's few impressions.
How dare you? It's one of my two.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I listen to the podcast. You do Caine and Statham on here.
That's it. That's pretty much it. Sometimes I'll discover one, but it's
Brad Williams and Adam Ray.
Yeah.
I'm here for you any time of day.
Now our listeners are all getting deja vu, like, wait, is this the beginning?
It's about last night. Yeah. You definitely picture me on like a bull or a horse or both singing that song.
Definitely.
With like a tank top, maybe a leather jacket over it.
Underwear only.
Underwear
sure.
only, sure. A fake goatee.
Yeah. A barbed wire tattoo.
A whip. I'm slapping my own ass, Callan style.
So let's see. How you do? You're Michael Caine.
Well, how about this? Here's let's set the scene. Okay. Michael Caine and Michael Caine at a coffee shop.
Who do I play?
You're in the performance of I shall set up the trailer. Ready?
Okay.
This summer, find out what happens when two unexpected friendships blossom at a coffee shop. Michael Caine and Michael Caine are Caine.
What's your order there?
I got the mocha frappuccino. That's what I got.
What a coincidence. That is so weird. I also got a mocha frappuccino.
Wait a second. Did you get it with whip or no whip?
I got it with whip because I'm not a goddamn communist.
Oh, you think I'm a communist just because I got mine with no whip?
You got yours with no whip?
That's right. I did not get the whip.
Do you believe in a capitalistic society?
I can barely understand what you're damn saying right now, and it's really perturbing me.
I feel like your mouth opens and a word or a sound comes out only every other second.
You know what? You need another shot of espresso. I'll tell you right now. I'll tell you right now. I'm so frustrated with you. And I don't understand how you can go through your life with only one shot of espresso in that mocha frappuccino.
And Whoopi Goldberg as the frustrated cashier. Are you guys going to order or what?
I love him. And Jay Baruchel behind them as the impatient customer. Hey, are you guys going to like order or something? Are you going to order a frappuccino or what, guys? I mean, God, I'm just trying to order and you guys keep talking about your mocha frappuccinos. I feel like I thought you already ordered. I mean, I got a girlfriend that I got to write to, okay?
When you said and Jay Baruchel as, I'm like, wait, Adam, do you do a Jay Baruchel?
Because yeah,
I sure
that's
as fuck
amazing,
don't.
Amazing, dude.
So that's well done. I think you're the only person I know who does a Jay Baruchel.
I try to do obscure ones, but it's hard to incorporate those in stand-up because if they're obscure, then people are going to be like, huh?
Like, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
Like, I do a great Patrick Warburton, but like...
Yes.
That's right.
Some people know who that is. Some people don't.
Basically, everyone knows his voice. Yeah.
Everybody knows exactly who he is as soon as he starts talking.
Yeah. I think a lot of people don't know his name, though.
All right.
No, I'm Buddy from Seinfeld. Come on.
Joe from Family Guy.
Joe from Family Guy.
Also that CBS show with David Spade.
Yeah, also from the soup plantation commercials. Oh, yeah.
And from the video that plays before Soarin', if you ride Soarin' over California, at California Adventure.
That's a very obscure reference, but it is much appreciated.
Where did you find, how did you even start mimicking people or teachers?
It was cartoons.
Yeah.
I like Yogi Bear and like watching all those, like, and I used to do like a Michael Jackson impression where I'd, you know, grab my nuts and like,
That's the entire impression.
That's the entire impression. Yeah. And I go really high into falsetto. I was the only boy who was an alto in choir growing up.
Okay. Now,
and that's like, yeah, for people who
for us theater nerds here, we kind of know what you're talking
usually
about.
It's usually women.
Yes.
Are,
yeah.
Yeah.
It, so it goes
like
what?
True big boy.
Soprano is like.
Soprano's way, way high.
That's higher than alto.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes soprano, alto, then tenor, I believe.
Yeah. Then baritone.
And then bass, then baritone.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I was always the bass because, you know, my nuts dropped early. That's just me.
Wait, I've really? Always been a baritone.
Wait, Yogi Bear. Who were you mimicking in Yogi Bear?
Oh, just the, hey, boo, boo.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah, for sure.
Just that.
Yeah. Stuff. You know what's so funny? It's like cartoon catchphrases, like those, you know, those, I think for any kid, like, you know, they resonate so hard. It's like there were so many of them, and it's like, you know, I remember probably even kids that didn't end up doing comedy were running around school being like, you know, thinking they were funny by being like, hey, boo-boo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and, just,
and that was the first time, like, I would get adults to laugh.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, you make your friends laugh. That's kind of one thing when you're a little kid. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. But if you make an adult laugh, like, if I don't know. I feel like it was really hard to make, like, parents or parents' friends genuinely laugh.
That you didn't know? Adults you didn't know making them laugh?
Right. Then you're like, oh, I think I'm onto something.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the most horrific thing, and now that we're all adults, well, at least in our age, not mentally.
Yeah.
But, the most horrific thing someone could say to me would be like, come watch my kid. He does the funniest thing. I'd be like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It sounds horrible.
That sounds, yeah.
But every once in a while, you'll see a kid where you're like, oh, this kid's got, okay. he's got a little moxie, a little something.
He's got something.
See, yeah. There's a difference between kids that like are cognizant of making an adult laugh and then the ones that are on Kids Say the Darndest Thing where they're just like, my poop has abs, and you're like, what? And they're like, and they don't even know what they just said.
I want to meet that kid.
And Steve Harvey's like, the fuck, you know.
It's a perfect Steve Harvey impression.
By the way, I literally have never tried to do a Steve Harvey impression until that moment. Dude. And I was just like, I knew that I couldn't verbalize the face he makes on Family Feud or any kid show when he's just when he turns the camera and just kind of goes that like
deadpan.
He makes that "Are you kidding me?" face.
It's the best.
Yeah. He mastered it. He's gotten jobs out of making a face.
Oh, yeah.
The da fuck face.
Because that's
da fuck.
That's all he does on
give him a show.
Family Feud.
Yeah.
Where we're like, name something you would find in your bedroom drawer. You're like, elephant.
Yeah.
And he just looks at the camera like, all right. Did you guys just all hear what I just heard?
And all he has to do, he doesn't even have to say anything that clever after the look.
No.
He can just be like, not going to your house for Thanksgiving. You know? Yeah. It's like, okay.
I love it when the families are still supportive of the dumps.
Good answer.
There could be one we live near a zoo.
Yeah,
we live near a zoo.
It could be in Africa.
A monkey just escaped. Why could an elephant escape?
Yeah, good answer.
Come on. Stupid fuck.
They're shocked.
Damn it, Darren.
Always Darren.
How bad do you want to go on that show? There's been celebrity versions, but like, dude, just have comedian versions.
That would be
love that.
And
so
have a
fun.
Whole week of them.
That'd be 10 times better than Hollywood Squares or any of that.
Yes. Are you kidding me? Like, unfortunately, dude, you know, when you have these big, you know, Hollywood game night, whatever, with celebrities, like, they're still all a little conscious of like their reputation and being PC and
right.
Not,
you're like, hey, guess who's gonna play Scrabble? Anna Kendrick.
Yeah,
Anna Kendrick's not gonna go
you
in
mean
there and be
comedy
like
comedy legend. Yeah. Anna Kendrick.
Yeah, she's not gonna be like my smelly vagina. Like she's not gonna say that or
but
like
dude,
make
if you
a
got,
black joke.
If you
or
got a
like
lot
that,
of
right.
up and coming comics. It's like, dude, there's you're kind of trying to go for blood because you're like. Dude, if I say something really crazy that gets like goes viral or or crushes in the show, the comedians are gonna laugh. I mean, Steve Harvey's. I mean, it's just gonna there's gonna be different energy.
Yeah, that would.
Fuck.
Oh, it needs to happen.
We need to pitch this to Byron Allen immediately, man.
How often he's getting pitched so much every day?
Yeah.
Now, like when you're in Kansas,
you're just like, of course he is. Let's move along.
Let's move right along.
when you're in Kansas, are you even thinking about being an actor, being a comedian, or is it just like, all right, well, that's something that's going to be a fun hobby?
Yeah, because you're so far removed from the business being in the Midwest.
Oh, yeah. Well, and also nobody I know is even remotely close to the industry.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
It's like, it literally sounds like a fantasy. So for the longest time, I wanted to be like a comedian, like an actor, or like a doctor. Yeah. Like, I went and shadowed, like, a pediatrician.
Wow,
like,
shit.
Like, in middle school, all that stuff. And then, as I got a little bit older, I was like, oh, this is actually, being a comedian is, like, a viable option, like, the more I learned and, like, researched, you know.
Yep.
With the internet coming out and all that stuff, a little bit easier.
Yeah.
With AOL chat rooms when 56-year-old white dudes weren't trying to fuck me, I could find out that there's other like-minded people out there.
Did you ever have those Net Zero discs?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like 40 free hours of
Wi-Fi
or dial-up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. And I got so excited when you
39 of those hours was just listening to the connection noise.
Oh.
Do you remember that? God, I remember there was a girl. She was a... Who was the first person you were like in a chat room with?
I mean... Probably
I'm not wired, don't worry.
Probably a 56-year-old dude from Wyoming that said he was an 18-year-old girl down the street from me.
You think?
I'm guessing.
Yeah, wow.
I remember you just go to a chat room and then you just type in age, sex, location. And then like you just see like, hey, that's within 5 years of me and within 100 miles.
Yeah.
Let's meet.
That's so crazy. And people did. And people died. I and know. People fucked. And then they died.
Yeah. My sister.
People died, then fucked. It was weird. Those are the weird ones.
That was the best dateline ever.
Yeah.
Your sister what?
She would get in trouble for my dad for going getting into in chat rooms.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, you know, innocent little kid like, oh, I'm going to go into this.
Find a friend.
I don't know what it is.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly.
It's also, dude, I mean, that's, I can't even imagine kids now. I mean, it's like the I want to see what that is. Level of curiosity is through the roof because every day there's a new app or a new, there's just so much stimulation that they're like, all I have to do is press it. Like, that's why if there was a nuke button like at a Lady Foot Locker and a kid walked by, they would press it.
Why is there a nuke button?
I don't know, man. Have you been to a Lady Foot Locker?
You can,
is there not a nuke button?
You want to kill yourself every time you go in there. That's why there's a nuke button in there.
The prices for running shoes are crazy.
You want a new pair of cross trainers or do you want to take out a small African nation?
All right, bad example, but...
these Crocs are way too high priced.
Yeah, but
Kim Jong-un is listening to this right now going,
absolutely.
They have nuke buttons in the Lady Foot Lockers?
Dude, it would be great if he... Dude, what if he does listen to podcasts?
I hope he does. Well, hell.
Put that hat on for a minute.
He's a fan of Dennis Rodman. He has to you know, consume more American pop culture.
He watches like the Caitlyn Jenner show?
Maybe. Well, now we know why he's so angry.
Are you a dude? Do you love sports? Do you love football? Do you love fantasy football? Yeah, you probably do. Well, then you need to try my favorite new app, Draft. Have you guys heard about this? It's a weekly fantasy football app, but it's not like the other guys, all right? On Draft, you get to play real-life snake drafts with other people, just like in your season-long league. Yeah, I know. Incredible. Here's how it works. It's a draft that lasts for just 1 week, and there's no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it, all right? There's no trades. There's no waiver wire. Draft even takes care of last-minute injuries for you, all right? And drafts start every couple minutes, so you can join one right now. You don't have to wait an hour or a year or for your birthday. 2 minutes from now, start a draft. Join one. And the best part, you get to play for cold, hard cash. Drafts start from just $1, so there's a draft for everyone. Who can't afford a dollar draft? Maybe pigeons, but, you know, because they don't have currency. There's also no salary caps, and you can play in a real-life snake draft just like you play with your friends in a season-long league. How great is that? Come and join me on Draft today. I'm in it. Brad's in it. We love it. Download the app anytime, like right now. All you do is search Draft in your app store and join a game in minutes, or you can play right from your computer on playdraft.com. Whatever you want. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. For a limited time only, all new players will get a free entry into Draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use my promo code ALN. That's right. Play a real money game for free just for using my promo code ALN on your first deposit on the app Draft. For fantasy football lovers, sports fanatics, and just people who love fun. Search Draft in the App Store or go to playdraft.com and come play with me for free using the promo code ALN.
Dennis Rodman came to roast battle a couple times.
What?
Did he?
Yeah. It was insane.
Was like, that the crazy? I mean, dude, everyone
knew he was going to be there, or did he just show up?
First of all, Dave Chappelle, Jim Carrey, I mean, John Mayer, Jason, Wright, I mean, everybody. So that to me, I'm glad that you are taking a moment to address how
crazy
that was.
It's a weird one.
But also, maybe one of the craziest ones.
Yeah.
Because it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
You don't even know that he's in the realm of stopping by. Jim Carrey, you're like freaking out, but you're like, it's a comedy store.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dennis Rodman was so wasted whenever he went up there that he got on stage. And
of course he did.
He grabbed the mic and he started talking to the mic and nobody could understand him. So I went up and stood next to him and I started doing fake sign language. Oh,
great. That crushed.
It did.
Yeah.
Dude, that's oh, one of the things. God.
Dude, that's such
and
a brilliant.
And I have a great picture of me doing fake sign language next to him.
As soon as you start doing it, I mean, do you still, you'll never forget that moment, I bet. That's,
oh, yeah.
But that's a rush of just.
Because everybody's freaking out. They're like, what do we do? How do we get him off stage? All this stuff. And I was like, oh, well, if he's interrupting the show, then I'm going to add to it because the show's already messed up that he stormed the stage. So I'm going to like capitalize on this moment.
That's a crazy level of commitment and trust in yourself that, man, all comedians should aspire to get to. You know what I'm saying, man? Because you read that room, you felt that moment, and 90% of the people are like, well, fuck, now it's weird. What do we do? I guess I'm going to sit and watch the train wreck.
Yeah, yeah,
and you're like, or get on the train and fucking
make it part of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's something that I know that we both respect about you is because you are fearless in that matter. Hell,
totally.
There's a video you can find on the internet of the Kill Tony podcast and you saying something to a guy and him just turning around being like, fuck this, and then just hitting you.
Yeah, he pushes me into... yeah, I thought... And luckily, Big J. Okerson was there to bounce him off the stage.
Yeah, to be Big J. Okerson.
But yeah, there's a video online for people who haven't seen it. That,
yeah, now, what's the Kill Tony podcast for those of you who don't listen? If you don't, you should totally subscribe to that.
So we do the show Kill Tony. My buddy Tony Hinchcliffe, we do his podcast every week in the Comedy Store.
Mm-hmm.
And comedians put their name in a bucket and they're drawn randomly and they come up to do a minute in front of a panel of fellow comedians, and then I'm part of like a
and
it's
kind of
like a late night band in front of a live audience, and we were doing the show in Austin as part of Moon Tower, and a dude on mushrooms came up and he was like wasted and on mushrooms, and he did this like crazy weird 1 minute set that was like barely like understandable talking about Blockbuster and stuff.
Okay.
Which already I mean, you guys were laughing because it was so
it was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I start, you know, I start roasting him afterwards. I was like, oh, this guy's an idiot. I start kind of making fun of him, and then like by the third zinger that I got him, it was getting too big, it was getting a bigger response than what he wanted.
He
just got real mad at me
and
shoved you.
Shoved me.
What was the line that got him?
I told him that he was a full-time garbage pail kid.
And if you see the video,
cuts a cord, dude, that cuts deep.
And if you see the video on YouTube, you're like, yeah, that makes absolute perfect sense. And then he just turned around, and was like, and just shoved you.
It was done. Yeah,
out of the and I would say too, and I want to know this. So you run also one of the most popular shows in town, Stand Up on the Spot.
Yeah,
which for people who don't know, it's comedians go up. They yell, ask for suggestions from the audience, and you, I mean, whether it's 30 seconds, 10 seconds,
one line,
or your whole set,
eight
to 10 minutes, you riff on that word or sentence or whatever, and you hopefully challenge yourself to not let it trigger a bit or something that you've been thinking about, and really just kind of think in that
free
moment,
flow,
right?
Yeah,
free
just
flow,
completely improvise, and let go of the reins. Yeah.
And I remember when I did it when you had it at Three of Clubs early on, and it was still very new, and you were getting cool people, because that's one of the great things too about LA is that like if you start a show and you got enough fans in your corner and you're likable and you're hustle, people recognize, and once you get a couple people of like of note, then people are like, oh hell yeah, okay, that's something to do, you know?
Yeah,
And it was just so, I remember doing it just being like, wow, I got like a bit out of that. Or at least I riffed on something that I had kind of been thinking about, but being put in that setting
where you have to,
I hadn't beat
it
anything out about it. I just had like, I mean, one of those things where you're just like, oh, that was kind of funny. And I was like, well, now let me force myself to try to riff on it.
Yeah.
And then I had a lot more to say about it than I thought I did because I was put in that situation.
It's like kind of like a wild animal being backed into a corner.
Yeah.
Like, because as soon as you get your suggestion, you're like, oh, I don't have my material. I don't have my script right now. I got to like get to the funny like right away.
Gotta figure it out.
I love watching how different comedians' brains work and how they like attack you know, their process, because you really get to see how, like, the wheels turn, like, right in front of you. It's pretty
cool. And you can't help, and I know the audience does this, and I certainly know that comedians do this when we watch this show, where when I'm watching a comic on stage and somebody yells out, "Railroads," I go, like, okay, well, what would I do in that situation?
Of course. Yeah.
And then you see what they do, and it's completely different, but they make it work, and you're like, oh, fuck, that was amazing. And one thing I love is that I've done the show as well, and the audience that you bring in, they understand. They're not just like, we demand full thought out bits. Right. Like, they're not polished. Like, they know what we're doing.
I do a very good job of setting it up, yeah, like with my set. And sometimes I end up bombing pretty bad because they're not quite getting the concept until the very end of my set. Then they're like, yeah. Oh, I'm like, all right, well, this is the show, guys. So let's get on board, you know, like,
right,
like this is kind of how it's going to be. Like it's going to build from here, but I book only my favorite comedians and who I think are amazing, hilarious comics who I think can handle
can
this
handle
format.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause it's a very specific, you know,
totally. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. If you have a friend of yours who's a great comic, but who does like the same set every night and it's pretty word for word the same set, and you're like, okay, well, maybe not them in that scenario, unless they really want to, unless they want to challenge themselves.
You know what's funny, I've worked with Bobby Lee a lot over the years, as you guys have too.
We've all seen his penis. Yeah
of course.
Okay.
He's a guy who is pretty scripted on stage.
Yeah.
He's pretty to the note, to the beat, to the word. I've seen him do, like, you know, a very similar set.
Because his stuff is so good.
It's so good. Yeah, so there's no point, like, to riff on it. He's one of those guys who I love seeing riff, though, because you don't get to see that very often in his set. So he does a show occasionally, and I love watching him because he goes in a panic mode because he's so used to having his jokes that just murder.
Yeah.
And that he's like going in a panic mode that he's like just scurrying to get like greatness out. And does every time. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating. And these lineups that you have for that show are insane.
Like, where'd you even come up for the show idea?
Yeah.
Just out of.
You know what? I started at Second City actually this month in September. It's the 7-year anniversary.
That's
of the
when
show.
I first did it, dude.
At Second City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was on a show. The first one I did was Nick Rutherford and Angelo.
Yep. Yep.
Yep.
That was at Second City. Yeah. That would have been, back in 2010.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
Amazing.
That's crazy.
2010, 2011, probably around the time you did it. Yeah.
That's nuts.
And it was, dude, that's so crazy because I vividly remember that, and there were probably 13 people in the crowd.
Yeah.
But all loving it, and it was still like, it still felt like a really new show. And then like this last one I just did, which was the something anniversary, right?
It was just a dope lineup that
it was just dope, and it was packed in the belly room and sold out, and the energy was like electric. And it's like, dude, that's so
it was like
crazy.
Like Rogan and you and like, man. Eliza.
Yeah,
dude. Yeah, it was great.
One thing I will say, and this is why, and everyone else, you know, feels this way because of just what you've created out here for yourself. Like, success is definitely just going to continue to follow you because these shows that you've created with Stand Up on the Spot, what you do in the goddamn Comedy Jam. And then
roast battle.
It's like things that like literally push your don't test you any harder as far as like how fearless you can be. You know what I'm saying? And so there's definitely something to be said about you finding those roles. You know what I'm saying? Like creating these shows and putting yourself in positions to always be out of your comfort zone, right? Like, I mean, I look at guys like Will Ferrell and Jim Carrey, who probably you were fans of growing up. It's like, those guys, to me, are some Robin Williams, the most fearless. Like, where they take chances and they get to a point where they just trust themselves. But then they also push themselves when they know they don't trust themselves because, like, this is how I will eventually learn to trust myself even more. Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. And thank you for saying that. That's very cool.
I'm just reading off the page here. This was sent to me by your mom. This was sent to me by your mom. And
there's a teleprompter right behind me, guys. So this is kind of embarrassing. I'm actually operating the teleprompter. It's a very one-stop shop here at About
Speak
Last Night.
Slower. Draw this out.
But was that always, were you like that growing up? And did your parents instill that? Where did you get that sort of mentality?
I've always had, I grew up with very good parents, and mm-hmm. they instilled in me confidence.
So it wasn't all beatings.
No.
There were some good times.
No, and that was, you know.
Yeah, that's a piece they of the were, pie.
That's just like a very slim piece. But yeah, no, they had great sense
of
humor.
Very slim, about the size of a switch.
No, but my parents were very supportive with anything that we wanted to do. And mm-hmm. something that my mom instilled even more than my dad was, if you start something, you have to finish it.
Wow.
Like, she would not let us quit anything. So if we were halfway into a season of a sport that we weren't really liking, you're finishing that season of that sport.
You're finishing
that course, you know, whatever grade you're in. Like, you're going to get the tutoring. You're going to get whatever to do it. And then you're done with it. You don't have to, you know, you're not good at that, but you at least saw it through.
If you start playing four player on Ninja Turtles at the arcade and some kid leaves because his ride's there,
you keep find another kid.
Now you're playing for him.
Yeah, you go into
guess
debt.
What? You're Raphael and Leonardo now.
What? How do I even
figure it out? You finish it,
dude. That's incredible.
What? That's good, and it probably also made you pick certain activities. Like, you're probably a little more cautious in picking your activities because you're like, oh man, I'm gonna have to do this.
Well, yeah, definitely. So one of the best things that ever happened to me in high school, and you look back on moments in your life whenever you hold stuff to such like high stakes, looking back, I got cut from the basketball team in high school, and basketball was my favorite sport. It was my everything, you know. And while I was doing basketball, the whole time, you know, I'd been doing childhood acting and all that stuff growing up. But whenever I got cut from the basketball team, that's whenever I was like, I need to get way better at comedy, and I need to get way better at filmmaking and mm-hmm. sketches and all that, because I had started around that same time, like kind of dabbling, like sophomore year in high school. I'm like, oh, I think I have a knack for this stuff, like on like the video side of stuff.
Yep.
And I got cut, and it was the best thing that happened because I went all in on just comedy and videos and editing and all that stuff. So, wow.
Well, hey, you know what? Michael Jordan also got cut from his high school basketball team.
And joined the improv team the week after.
So you kind of have that to go on.
He joined the John Paxton Comedy Hour team.
So what I'm trying to say is, guys, is if I would have put all my energy back into basketball, I wouldn't be a comedian. that's what I'm trying to say.
You were a taller than average white guy from Kansas. So you thought, well, I got a shot.
Yeah.
I'm sure you did, right?
I was good. I was pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. like, we play like with comedians out here. And
no,
you
are good.
Own you, Rick Glassman. That's what you're trying to say.
He's a good player. Rick's good, man.
Yeah.
Brent Morin's really good.
Dude, Rick played against LeBron James.
Are you serious?
Yeah, growing up in Ohio.
Yeah, bring that story up. See how long it lasts.
He'll talk for about 7 hours about it.
I bet.
It's incredible, though. I mean, dude, I mean, wouldn't you want to hear every piece of that that tale? So then when do you come to L.A.? Like, when? Because that is, I'm always, and Brad can attest to this, too.
Yeah.
Like, people that make that jump, you're like, at what point, who tells you to do it? Who told you not to do it? Who drove you out here?
So I moved out here in 2009. My parents really wanted me to get some kind of education.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got like a 2-year arts degree because I was like, I already know what I want to do.
Some kind of education.
It is.
That's true.
I was taking improv classes and video editing classes and all that stuff, Photoshop, blah, blah, blah.
Well, your sister's taking neuroscience. Yeah. What are you doing? Finger painting.
My sister and I took a bowling class together in college.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. The American dream.
Were you good?
Nah, dude.
That's why I took the class, Adam. Yeah. So we could be better at it.
She made me cheat, and I had to bowl games for her. And I would get like blisters. She's like, I can't go. Can you?
She wouldn't even bowl?
Sometimes she wouldn't even go.
You're in a bowling class, and that's too much for you?
You'd have to give a receipt of the games printed out that you played. So my hands are almost like bleeding. Like, well, you know, I got us an A in bowling. So there you go. Physical education, check.
I love that they still tried to make it serious, even though it's a bowling class.
Dude, the dude who ran it was... It was
a legend.
It was a sketch character.
Yeah.
He
used to be in the PBA, and I'm going to teach you guys form. Here's some pictures of me in 1979, whenever I was in blah, blah, blah. You know, he chose.
Did anybody want to smell my glove again?
Yeah.
Nobody asked to smell it the first time. Remember you shoved it in our face?
Name the Spinal Tap.
That's enough out of you, Travis, all right? You're being quite the turkey, which is real tough to get in bowling unless you got a great attitude and a big dick. Now, Steven, stand up and put on your pants. You're like, what?
These bowling ball holes aren't going to fill themselves. Come on.
Dude, those types of sports in any like schooling situation are always so... Yeah. I mean, I remember in senior in high school, we had a... it was called senior sports you could take, where you went to... Like, one day you went paddle boating. One day you went bowling.
Oh.
One day you played putt-putt golf. That was the class.
You were saying...
And a girl got a D in the class.
See, I got my hopes up because you said senior sports. I'm like, wait, so you like played shuffleboard and, and bocce ball and
like senior citizen sports.
Tiddlywinks.
Nice.
By the way,
first Tiddlywinks.
First
reference.
Time this ever happened. Whenever I went and saw the scary movie, I saw Annabelle Creation.
Okay,
that's why. That's why I'm still like a little jumpy because there's a lot of jumpy moments in that movie. Anyway,
and there's a lot of doll characteristics in me. So when you saw me outside your window, you're like, it's the doll. It wants to suck my dick. I'm gonna get some splinters, right?
Terrifying. Still scared, Brad.
I got you'll get me back soon. And
I definitely will. Yeah. I always get back twofold.
Oh God. See, now that makes me nervous because you and your fiance are going out with me and my wife tomorrow night.
It's happening. We're doing a double date tomorrow.
Nice. We're doing a couples thing.
Oh my God, that's so adult.
Our ladies set it up.
Yeah.
And we're like, we'll show up. Yeah.
Well, but like, thank God that they set it up because normally when the girl comes to you and goes, so we're going out with a couple, you're like, oh, sweet Jesus.
Who is it?
Yeah. And then it was
Sebastian
like,
has this great bit about that right now where he's going out all these non-comedian dudes.
Oh.
And he's just like, they're like, yeah, it's the school we're putting the kid in. It's, it's better. And so it's like, yeah, shut up.
So funny.
Aren't you embarrassed?
Yeah, so when my wife came to me and was like, oh, yeah, we're going out with Jeremiah
That's
and his
great.
Fiance.
You were pumped.
I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Great.
And then it got me thinking, well, I've known you now for a few years.
No.
Why haven't we done it?
Yeah, it's very adult. But, well, Brad just got married, and you're about to get married.
Yeah, next month, yeah.
Wow. How you feeling?
I feel good. I'm at this point, I'm ready to do it.
Yeah.
You know, like we've also been engaged for over a year now, so I'm ready to just do it now.
So I'm like the grizzly veteran now. I can give you advice.
You can guide me.
Yeah, and right where you are, that's... I was having the same feelings. Like, I just want it done.
Yeah.
I just want it over with. I want to stop taking phone calls from relatives that I have never talked to in my entire life. And now I'm expected to have 25-minute conversations about what hotel they're going to stay at.
Yeah.
Have you told comedians that are coming, like, what they can and can't say? Or, like, are you trying to, like, are you have some people giving speeches? Are you doing open mic style?
Can't fuck the bridesmaids.
I mean, it's going to be an open forum. It might be a mess, but I'm going to let anything happen. I'm going to let them say
again,
whatever during the
Jeremiah
speeches.
Form, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it go. Like, if they embarrass me, which I don't get embarrassed really. Like, I have a pretty low tolerance for embarrassment.
You have shown your pubes on national television.
What?
I have shaved them. Yes.
You have shaved your pubes.
Wait, on roast battle?
You don't know about this? Let me tell you the story, Adam.
Oh my God.
Jeremiah Watkins, part of the All Negro Wave, or as you know it from the television show, The Wave.
Real quick, is that out of the shows you do? And then stand up too. Is that the most fun? Because it looks like it.
We have so much fun.
Because of the energy, the entire energy of the whole.
The energy is ridiculous.
Yeah. But what you guys are is like, I feel like the show is not what it is without that.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely. Yeah. I mean,
yes. You don't have to agree. But yes.
Mm-hmm. It's very different. I've seen the show without it. And
it's what separates it from just another
Yo Mama kind of show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Which, you know, let's not take that down. That was Wilder Valarama's, some of his best work.
Some of his best work. we have, I mean, it's so much fun doing that show with Jamar Neighbors and Willie Hunter. And so in the season finale of the first season, we went live. And I was like, I'm going to get in two bits that I've done before that have killed harder than anything I've ever done on stage before.
Okay.
And the first bit was...
Because you guys plan a lot of bits out, right?
But you
just don't know when they're going to happen?
For the... Yeah, we have it's truly a mix of improv and sketch. Like, sometimes we have items that we just happen to have, and somebody will say, like, a wording to a joke, or they have a joke where we're like, oh, what? We have eggs now? What? Oh, they just made it an ovarian cyst joke or something? Like,
and so then you go up and...
Like, crack the eggs, or you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, in the moment, like... We didn't know that was going
to
happen.
Basically, for the listeners, that you guys do this bit to like bookend a joke or accentuate a moment, bombing or, right. or killing.
Yeah, if you have, yeah, it's to heighten basically whatever's going on. We're kind of the voice of the audience. So if a joke is killing, then we try to heighten it more. If a joke bombs, yeah, same thing. So we the first bit was. I did it one other time with Willie Hunter in the belly room. Is I mimed a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
And so we mimed a blowjob on the live finale, and I had fake white soap in my mouth. So I stood up after I like I'm really like giving it to him.
You commit.
I commit yeah. 1,000% always. And Willie's like doing the face where he's like loving it, and I stand up and I have white soap spill out of my mouth,
oh my
and it was
God.
Disgusting, of yeah. course. And so that was the first bit that I was like, I got to get this in. Because Jamar's like, you got to choose one or the other, that or the pubes bit. They're too gross. I was like, we're doing both. He's like, all right, man. All right. Okay. Wow. So then the other one, the final joke of the final episode of the season one roast battle, I went up there with an electric razor. I pulled down my shorts and I shaved my pubes. Like, and then... Willie and Jamar threw them up in the air, and Moses did, and it was ridiculous. And
that's the thing about that joke. I can only do it once. Now, did you grow them out specifically, knowing you were going to do that?
Yeah, because I did it one other time in the belly room, and
yeah.
it destroyed. It got such like an array of it was literally every response you can think of. Disgusted. Horrified people crying laughing
yeah.
people like jumping up and down.
People
it was literally the whole
they'd never
spectrum.
Seen like
maybe
the one thing their parents said was like, when you go to LA, just make sure you like, you know, you don't see the shaving of the pubes, like
right.
that, that's a bad omen, you know, that means your career's not gonna be as fruitful as you want.
Never
where did you learn that, mama? I don't know.
Mennonite's pubes,
yeah. An almost Mennonite's pubes,
yeah.
Almost.
It's a great
tonight's performance.
Great
of
Oscar
almost
Wilde
Mennonite's
play.
Pubes, yeah. yeah.
we'll be... Oh, dude, almost Mennonite's pubes. I love that band, dude.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
They're great, man.
That's fucking bonkers.
So
that's great.
And you did it on TV.
So did it on TV. Judd Apatow said that it made him fall in love with comedy again.
It was that episode.
It was that episode.
Your pubic hair.
Because I watched the whole thing with my mom. This was the Montreal ones.
Yep, those are the Montreal ones.
Wow.
So
how is that not sticking in my brain? Maybe I made sure it didn't.
Kind of blocked it out.
Like but the blowjob bit, because we went so far with that bit,
mm-hmm.
So Standard Practices didn't say anything about the pubes bit.
Yeah.
Like, they were, like, in the control room, this is what they told me. Whenever they saw me do it, they're like, well, do we dump it? Well, what do we do? Like, well, what's going on? Like,
yeah.
Like he's technically not showing any skin. Like, what do we do? And they
do
just left
dump
it.
Dump it.
Yeah. Do we get rid of it?
Right.
They're gonna cut to another shot.
You can
because
just hit a button and then
hit a
it's
button
gone.
And then it's gone.
Yeah.
So
wow.
They left that, and the only note that they got after the episode, they
not go, enough pubes.
Didn't even mention that. They said that blowjob bit will never air on Comedy Central again. It's way too pornographic and disgusting. So we got that bit cut, and the pubes bit stayed. You got to cross the line
yeah.
to stay...
To know where it is.
To know where it is, and yeah. so you can get on what you really want to get
wow.
on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well done, sir. And that and that's when your parents are watching at home going, he made the right decision.
You know
so
what's funny?
They had to be at a dinner party now, and when everyone's describing
watching with their friends.
What like the other kids are doing, like, oh, he just got his master's degree. Oh, he just, you know, he's a lawyer
boring.
Now. What's little Jeremiah doing? Well, he shaved his pubes in front of millions of people.
Yeah.
Judd Apatow said it. Comedy's Judd Apatow.
Yeah, comedy's Judd Apatow.
By the way, that's what whoever is bringing it up and defending you says to the person who's like, well, it sounds like it's going all right. And you're like, it actually is.
Yeah, yeah.
Judd
yeah.
Apatow said he it was his favorite thing he's ever seen.
Yeah.
that has to be just such a trip that the stuff that would get you in trouble as a kid, and they were always told not to do, and it would make you meet a switch. Now you're getting paid for it.
It's bizarre. I'm super grateful.
Are there things in the wave that you guys? I mean, because you have to be a real quick. Somebody thinks of a bit, and then you quickly discuss it, and then you do it. Because I mean, if you're discussing and there's something happening on stage, you might miss the moment, right? It has to be.
If it's not unanimous, we don't do it. So we have like this weird system down where it's almost like our own language where it's like literally like pointing motions, and we have an idea of what we're going to do. And also Willie Jamar and I have been friends for a long time. So we have camaraderie with each other where we kind of know, you know, when you're playing like a sport, somebody, you kind of know their moves, you kind of know where they're going to be in basketball. Like if you throw it at a certain part of the court. Yeah. It's kind of same thing.
So you guys have just kind of figured it out that way.
We kind of figured it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of have like our like system down.
That's so great.
is there anything anyone that's like hit you up from back home that, like, or a teacher that like that just like saw this in you that has like reached out to you or posted something on Facebook, you know, like, or seen you back home doing shows, because you'll do shows when you go back, right?
There's some
or now you just did this big tour with Tony, which was bonkers, right?
Yeah,
that was nuts.
Big theater tour.
Yeah,
you drove around everywhere.
Still going or done?
Oh, we just finished it last night in the main room, so it's done.
Oh wow, so yeah.
First experience doing a tour. Yeah. It was amazing. Dude, it was incredible.
Yeah.
Like, it was cool because for many reasons, I've never been on a tour like that. I've just done like weekends here and there, you know, opening, featuring, headlining very rarely. But it was like people know Tony from a lot of things, like Rogan or Netflix or like his podcast.
That Rogan shit is bonkers, by the way. I mean,
it's
insane. I feel like like the fact how many shows he's done for him and how his podcast and everything, it's like that in itself could fuel that, I feel like.
No, because, it definitely helps a lot. Like, because Tony would be like, how did you find out about me? So many people were like, oh, I originally found out about you from Rogan, and then I just started following you from there, and then I started listening to your podcast.
Fucking
and,
crazy.
Yeah, So he gets spill off from Rogan, and then I get spill off from Tony because I do his podcast.
Yep.
So it was cool because some people, it was the first time I've kind of experienced people kind of knowing between Roast Battle and Kill Tony.
Yep.
People were like, hey, dude, I dig your stuff.
Yeah.
And like, I came out to see you. And I was like, oh, that's kind of a nice feeling.
It's the weirdest thing.
It's like, bizarre.
It's the greatest thing and the weirdest thing when you realize that, oh, the same way that I would go and see a band that I'm like, oh, yeah, I've heard that guy's song on the radio, I'm now gonna go see them live, or I'm gonna go see that comic or that movie or whatever the hell, now someone's doing that to me.
I overcompensate. I'm like, thank you. It's almost like, it's like, dude, act like you've been there before. I'm like, I can't believe, thank you for coming and spending your money. They're like, yeah, man, I like comedy and I saw a thing and I wanted to see it. Like, that's how life works.
You end up being the weird guy. Really appreciate it, man. They're like, no, it's all good. Dude, it's $20 man. It's not,
I can't fucking believe it.
I live down the street, man.
Are you serious? I actually got given this ticket, man.
I work here, man. I'm in the back, so I don't actually have to go anywhere.
I'm just sweeping up the floor right now, man. I didn't even watch the show.
Thank you so much, man. I really
super grateful.
I'm grateful.
Can I sign something for you?
My broom.
The crazy part about you, like, being on this tour and doing the stand-up is like for almost a year of me knowing you, I never actually saw you do stand-up because you do so many shows.
Yeah,
where you're like a part of the show, but it's not stand-up related. Whether it be Kill Tony, whether it be Roast Battle, whether it be Goddamn Comedy Jam, Midnight Snack, Stand Up on the Spot, all these shows are shows where you're kind of like a necessary and hilarious accessory, but you're not doing like actual stand up comedy. Like, I remember the first time I saw you actually do stand up before the Roast Battle was like, oh, and he's good at stand up too. Oh God, thank God.
Oh yeah, well,
that would have sucked.
every once in a while somebody will be like, they'll ask me, so do you do stand up? I'm like, that's what I do like seven nights a week. The other shows happen like once a week or once a month, but that's just how they know me. So, you know, I'm just like, yeah, come, you know, see my stand up sometime. So that's what was really nice about being on this tour with Tony is I got to do half an hour every night before him, and then he'd come out and close it with an hour. And I mean,
awesome.
It was great.
That's the best way to do it. And to be on tour with a buddy too is just like night and day, because then all the stuff in between is way sweeter.
We had so much fun.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
You guys, I was telling Tony last night, the videos of you guys pulling, driving by and doing the this to trucks.
Oh yeah,
doing the like honk your horn, and then the anticipation I was on Tony was so funny to me how hyped up and anxious I was getting watching, wanting the horn. I was like, yeah. I can't believe how intense this is right
oh,
now.
Yeah.
And then when it would happen, I would laugh as hard as you guys would. So
yeah,
it was,
you get more into it than like a Game of Thrones battle.
Yeah.
You'd just be like, will he honk the horn?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're the truck honking champions of the world. And anybody who wants to challenge us, let us know.
I do want to know before we wrap up, what was a cooler moment, playing Careless Whisper sax in front of 15,000 Canadians or getting your name on the wall at the Comedy Store?
I mean,
or dinner tomorrow with Brad.
They're all a toss-up. Yeah. super political guy. You know, the dinner tomorrow night with Brad is going to be pretty exciting. We've had it in the calendar for quite a while.
Right. A lot of people would say that would be the least exciting, but that's
bullshit.
Have you had dinner before?
Have you ever sat, dined with Brad?
Have you ever dined with a midget? I feel like that's a rich bastard thing to say. Like, have you ever dined with a midget?
Do you summer with dwarves?
You vacationed in Appalachia, yes, but have you ever dined with a midget?
Oh, what year is this?
He holds up, he sniffs my ass.
Yeah.
That's an 84 midget.
The vendor gives him your birth certificate, like, for authentication.
Yes, that is indeed an 84 midget.
Oh my god. Oh my
That's
god.
So good.
Like it's a fuck. Oh.
I think I just broke Adam. So yeah,
it's got a Chardonnay. It's got an oaky poopy smell.
Oh, yes.
Very fruity.
Very fruity. There's a cinnamon toast crunch.
What is that? I don't know what that.
Do you have a red? yeah, well, so
but how great was it to get your name up there, though, at the Comedy Store? And how great was it to have all the comics, like, tweet it out and not, like, because that's, they're not necessarily promoting a show for you. They're not, like, doing something specific. It's just, like, hey, something cool happened to a good guy.
Yeah, dude, it meant a lot to me, and especially how much support I had, because I definitely thought that it was going to happen. The way it worked out with the former talent coordinator, I was actually told years ago that it was going to happen. And I really had to do a little bit of a reset and not start over, but really focus on getting really good to the point where I could get past there and become paid regular.
Yep.
So it meant a lot to me, that specifically, because I do all these other shows, that is such... like a prestigious thing that is specific to stand-up comedy, which a lot of people still don't know me for my stand-up. So it was incredible. Like
it validates the
support that I got from all my peers. Like that made it so much better, because everybody was saying it's about time and finally, rather than me hearing whispers in the hallways of why did this guy get passed? Because that happens every once in a while. Some people get like kind of mad, like a new comic will come in from another city and then they get passed too soon, and then, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot more.
There's a lot of politics and weird behind the scenes stuff that people don't even realize.
I mean, it's a very supportive world, but it's, you know, there's a competitiveness to it like any business.
Of course.
And a why didn't I get that? A comparing, especially, I think more so in our field than probably like an advertising agency where it's like, you know, how come he got the fucking fruit by the foot account and I didn't get, you know, everybody knows I fucking love strawberry. I wear strawberry fucking t-shirts all the time.
Williams, my office now. How do we not get the fruit by the foot account?
Graham crackers again?
Well, I really like graham crackers.
You know we can't retire with graham crackers. Get the fruit by the foot account now or you're fired.
Yes, Mr. Spacely.
We can't tell our listeners enough that if they're ever in Los Angeles to go to any of your shows, any of them at the Comedy Store, whether it be Roast Battle, whether it be Goddamn Comedy Jam, whether it be Stamp on the Spot,
just Google your name. Those. Your website is what?
Jeremiah Watkins.
JeremiahWatkins.com or .tv, whichever one you want.
Hell yeah.
And then if you have the chance to see you on the road, go see you on the road. Follow the man on Twitter.
At Jeremiah Stand Up on all social media.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they don't want to confuse you with another famous Jeremiah.
Yeah, there's luckily not many Jeremiahs in comedy right now.
The only other Jeremiah I knew before you was Jeremiah Fulford Foster, and he was the president my senior year of high school. He played football. Now he is a manager at Costco. And
I was gonna say now he's a CEO at KFC.
Yeah, Jeremiah Fulford. Yeah. Fulford Foster.
Fulford Foster. Isn't that good? Yeah. We need to have this bull meat right away about this. This new chicken that's coming out over here.
People would sing, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and he would go. And it would make him so angry.
Oh, I embraced it. I loved it.
Well, see, yeah. And that's why you're not managing at Costco.
Yeah, I guess so.
If you do see Jeremiah, by the way, feel free to compliment him. But one thing you should not do is feel like you are paying homage to his talents by shaving your pubes and throwing them in the air.
Dude, I'm your biggest fan. I have a bag of my pubes for you, dude. No, you can keep those. That's okay.
Well, I guess there goes the option of my gift I was going to give you at the end of the show.
Nope, still do that.
Save it for dinner.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.